We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What is going on, Colts Nation? Welcome back to another episode of Bring the Juice. You guys, Derek and Cody with you. And guys, we're reacting to the first round of the 2024 NFL Draft. A lot happened in this first round, and it definitely took a lot of people by surprise. I think the main thing that took everyone by surprise, Cody, and where the madness started, was Michael Penix being drafted at number 8 to the Atlanta Falcons, where we were sitting there thinking, oh, a guy like a Dallas Turner or a Terrion Arnold or one of those big defensive players was going to get taken at that spot. Or we thought that Atlanta might trade out of it, get some more draft picks, and still get somebody that they wanted. But they took a quarterback at the most unlikely time and the most unlikely spot we would have thought of for Michael Penix at this spot.
Yeah, talk about a surprise. That one came out of left field. I mean, I thought of any quarterback that if Atlanta wanted to take a quarterback, wouldn't have agreed with it. But the one quarterback that I did not expect them to take was Michael Penix, just because you have Kirk Cousins, you know, I believe 2-year deal. So by the time his contract would expire, Michael Penix, he's 25 right now. He's going to be at 27. So that was definitely a surprise that they went that early for a player like Michael Penix, who, good player, no, don't get me wrong. But again, you know, there's some medical concerns there with Penix. And, you know, there's just, I don't know. It's just like it felt like it was an extreme reach for a player like Penix, as good as he could be. It was very shocking that Atlanta would go that early with the quarterback.
It was kind of like, well, they mentioned the Green Bay model, which was draft the quarterback to predecess the already great talent that you have there. Yeah. The only problem with that is with the Green Bay model, Green Bay was already in an NFC championship game that season. So they were already a really good football team. And they took the quarterback that eventually they knew at some point Rodgers wasn't going to be there. You're not a good football team. You're not a good football team. You need help everywhere. And to blatantly just not do anything with that and get a guy that is not going to help you right away just seemed like an illogical thing to do. Yeah. It was a very illogical thing.
It's weird because like it feels like you're speaking out of two sides of your mouth, right? Because in one hand, you signed Kirk Cousins. That's a win now move, right? But on the other hand, you're building for the future of your quarterback. Like, I don't know. I'm just like, I would think you want, if you're going to go all in, commit to that, right, and go get a player on defense, right, or go get a weapon. I mean, I know they already have a couple weapons there, but get another guy. Get Kirk Cousins as much help as you possibly can get him, whatever that looks like. And so, yeah, that was definitely a shock that Atlanta went that early with, you know, a quarterback. And the quarterback they took is a guy that's, you know, older prospect. Yeah. So it's not like there's this 20-year-old waiting in the wings. You know, Michael Penix is 25. So definitely was shocked by that. That was definitely the first kind of start, like you mentioned, of the chaos that would ensue in the draft.
And then there was a couple more things that happened. all the big wide receiver targets got taken up in the top 10. But then that 10 through 14 before Indianapolis got there, a lot of craziness happening. Minnesota actually trading up one pick with the Jets to make sure they got J.J. McCarthy. And then Denver taking Bo Nix at 12. So six quarterbacks, Cody, taken in the first 12 picks. Now, we talked about it when you came over, and I was telling you I don't think there's any possible way that there's going to be six quarterbacks taken in this. I would see the argument for five potentially, but I didn't, even I thought that was a stretch. But here we are, in the first 12 picks, there were six quarterbacks that were taken. I mean, needless to say, Cody, we said it. There was a lot of teams that needed quarterback help, and these teams took them, even if it was early, they took them and made sure they got who they wanted.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was shocked at the fact, you know, we hear that smoke, right? And we thought that's what it was. It was smoke, right? Because you've heard that about different players that, oh, they could rise here, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're not even day one picks. And so was definitely shocked, but also not shocked, because we know how quarterback driven obviously the league is and how important it is and how desperate teams get when they don't have that guy, right? So for me, it's like I was shocked a little bit, but also I wasn't shocked that they took six quarterbacks just because of that desperation there. And especially Denver. I mean, they've just backed themselves into this corner, Derek, where you're kind of just sitting there and you're like, well, we kind of have to take the last, you know, round one potential quarterback in Bo Nix. And so definitely was surprised, but also wasn't surprised, because some of these quarterback desperate teams, you know, were able to still get a quarterback. But definitely good for the Colts, no doubt about that.
Yep, and then right after Bo Nix, unfortunately, the Raiders took the one guy that I really wanted in Brock Bowers.
Yeah.
So now they have two first-round tight ends on their roster now. And then the Indianapolis Colts went with the position that you wanted, maybe not the player that you were expecting, but all of that to lead up to Indianapolis taking Laiatu Latu, the edge rusher out of UCLA. There's some good and some bad that comes with Laiatu. Actually, really the only bad thing that anyone really had to say about Latu was the fact in 2020 had a neck injury that resulted in him basically wanting to retire from the game. He had a surgery, which from all accounts, it sounds like it was the same person that did Peyton Manning's neck surgery many years ago. So you're seeing the kind of expertise that was done on this kind of surgery. And then he did rugby for a year afterwards and then proceeded to come back to college football, where he proceeded to dominate over the last 2 years. And you ask the majority of people, and they said that this guy is clearly the most polished edge rush guy in this entire draft class. It was definitely a shock nonetheless, Cody, because I think nobody really expected Latu to actually be taken here for Indy. So, I mean, we kind of already expressed our little thoughts on that, but
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
it was an adventure to get to this draft pick for sure.
It was. And again, that was the biggest concern, right, was the medical with Latu. But if you think about it, he's played 2 years and he's produced at that level, right, with that. And it's something where there really weren't, you know, any concerns, which I think is definitely a positive thing. You know, that, and I think people, like, if this was a year ago or 6 months ago, okay, this is a whole different conversation.
Yes.
But this was nearly 3 years ago that this happened, you know, like where he was forced to medically retire, but his love of the game, you know, made him want to make this comeback. Right. And he produced, and obviously the best, the first defender taken in this draft. And a lot of people said the best defender taken out of anybody, according to PFF. I mean, this dude got after the quarterback, and not just a, you know, situational pass rusher, Derek. He is a complete edge guy. Like, he not only was able to get after the quarterback, you know, obviously one of the best pressure rates, one of the best sack rates in the NCAA, but he was also led the NCAA in tackles for loss. So this guy did a little bit of everything. And so I don't think this is necessarily just a situational pass rush situation. This is a guy in Latu that can come in from day one, it can start at one of the defensive end positions, and will be a well-rounded player, but obviously has that potential, that sky-high potential to get after the quarterback. And Derek, I know we're going to make a video on this coming up here, and, you know, I don't know if we'll have it up tonight or if we'll have it up tomorrow morning, but this idea of, like, in the past, we've seen the Indianapolis Colts draft some guys in the edge, right, in the edge position.
Yeah.
But the production versus the traits haven't always matched each other.
Yeah.
Right? And we've seen a lot of times with, I mean, take your pick, you know, Kamoko Ture, Ben Banigou, even Quiddy Pay, right? We've seen the Colts take these guys off of some of their traits, not necessarily their production in college. And so I think the thing that was encouraging to see about Chris Ballard when it came to this is the fact that now the Colts can actually marry the two, right? Where you can have that, you know, Latu is a great athlete, you know, over 9 RAS score. You know, he's got a lot of good intangibles that you like. Obviously, he's what, like 260, 6'4", 6'5"?
Yeah, his arms are a little bit shorter than your prototypical Ballard defensive end. He's not quite – I mean, he's a little bit longer than most guys. He's not quite as built as some of these other guys. But, again, like, the body type is a little different. But outside of that, the production far outmatches anything that we've had before.
Absolutely. So maybe you sacrifice just a tad on some of the traits that you're typical – Chris Ballard has taken, but I mean, the production, like you mentioned, I mean, it's second to none. Like, this was by far the best guy at the edge position, and there's not really a debate, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody was saying the Colts just got the guy, right, at edge. And Derek, we have pounded the table for years and years and years about the fact that the Indianapolis Colts still did not have that premier pass rusher, that guy that would strike fear into the hearts of offensive coordinators at night, before the game, and could actually routinely go out there, Derek, and get 10-plus sacks, right? They haven't had that since Robert Mathis retired, right? They have not had a player like Latu, right, that has that production. And so you're like, if that can translate to the NFL level, which a lot of people believe it really can, I think Latu could be a guy that could be an immediate impact, plug and play on that defense, and can seriously help your defense that, let's be honest, had some good moments last year getting after the quarterback, but was far too inconsistent. And I think the fact that Latu had one of the best pressure rates, and that's an area where the Colts struggled last year, was pressure, consistent pressure, getting after the quarterback. I think that is just something that is so, so helpful and so, so needed. I mean, Derek, I posted this on Twitter, and I know this is a very controversial pick. There's a lot of people who don't like this pick, right? But I posted this on Twitter. I said, if you hate this pick, if you're not a fan of this pick, and if you don't think the Colts need pass rush, I challenge you, go back to certain games last year, say even the last two games, the Raider game and the Texans game, and you tell me the Colts don't need pass rush.
Literally.
You did not hit the quarterback nearly enough. In that second game against Houston, you wonder if you would have gotten a couple more pressure and impact plays like Latu is going to give you, how much could that have turned the tides potentially in that game? Right. Yeah. You just didn't have that. Right. And even though you set the franchise record in sacks, there were those things a la pass rush when it matters that you just didn't frankly have. And Latu is going to add to that in such a great way. So it's like one of your biggest weaknesses on defense last year and a guy that will instantly help you out of that department.
Absolutely. And I mean, and we can talk forever about Latu, and we will continue to do that. I will just mention that there was one guy who says he's worked with several D1 defensive ends that have gone pro, and
first round.
Lots first round guys. And Latu is the first guy that he said that he's confident that Latu can go in right away and get double digit sacks. Like, that's how confident he is, and that is saying something. And I would also add to your point where you're talking about one of the best pass rush rates in all college football last year. Mm-hmm. He had one of the best pass rush rates of the last 10 years, not just this last year, not just in 2022, of the last 10 years worth of defensive ends that have gone in the draft. He had the second best pass rush win rate of any defensive lineman in all of college football, only trailing Nick Bosa, who by most accounts is a top three defensive lineman in all of the NFL. And if that is your competition, then the Colts might have secretly just gotten the best player in the whole draft.
Right.
Secretly.
And going back real quick, Derek, because I know the biggest hesitation, like you mentioned, is the medical. This is something that I thought about because the Indianapolis Colts don't just draft guys to draft guys, right? They take their time. They're very methodical. We know, obviously, the hours they put into studying each and every one of these prospects, poking holes into these guys, right? There's no question at all, right, that they take their time and they do their research when it comes to this. Do you remember, Derek, back in 2019, when the Colts medically flagged Montez Sweat at the end of the first round, and they traded out of round one, right? And they didn't take him, right? And obviously, you kind of wish they would have now, but the Colts are willing to medically red flag guys, right? If it's necessary, if they do the research and they say, we don't feel comfortable with this. So for that reason, I guess that makes me a little bit more confident that the Colts believe this is something that's not going to linger. It's not going to be something where he's going to have to retire early. I know there's been a lot of comparison to like the Leighton Van Der Esch neck injury when he was coming out of college. But obviously the Colts felt comfortable enough with him that they feel like it's not going to be an issue moving forward, because you don't just take a swing at 15 if you have a concern like that. You don't.
Yeah.
You either trade out or you take the next best available player, right?
Yep,
and so absolutely. That's kind of where I'm more confident is, like, I personally feel like it's going to just be fine with the medical. And again, this is a guy that's played two straight years of college football and produced at the highest level. After, post this stuff happening,
on top of
playing rugby, like you mentioned as well. So I do personally really feel like it's not as big of a concern as maybe some people are making it out to be. Obviously, there's been some red flags in the past. I mean, you can't just look past the medically retired thing.
Yeah.
We're not saying that's not a thing, because it definitely is.
Right.
But I think when you look at it, the Colts have done their research. They've taken their time. They've obviously, you know, asked a lot of questions, poked around, because I believe, Derek, if it truly was something, like, this isn't something where Chris Ballard's in a vacuum and he's making all these decisions.
Right.
We saw it with the latest, you know, behind the Colts thing, right? Like, they have a group of guys, the scouts, Chris Ballard, everybody, and they are like, we poke holes at every single prospect, right? So you'll get a prospect and you will have the opportunity to defend him. We're going to poke holes into him. And so it's not something where, you know, Chris Ballard's just biased or whatever, however people want to phrase it. This is a collective decision that the Colts made together. And they probably poked holes in Latu. Like, they probably did. Oh. And they deemed that it was worthy of the talent and production, was worth the risk, right?
Yeah.
Of the, you know, the concerns that people will have and the concerns maybe some other teams had with Latu. We don't know if teams did or not, but that is something that I think makes me feel a lot better about it for the Indianapolis Colts. And again, you know, big need was pass rush. We didn't talk about it. All the talk was like corner at wide receiver.
Even I think pass tight rush, end position.
Yeah, pass rush was a big need though.
Yeah.
It was a need that we weren't talking about. You know, I was pounding the table for it.
Yeah.
And so getting the best pass rusher and the best defender by a lot of metrics from what people have said, I think makes total sense for the Colts.
Definitely had you shocked for sure when Dallas Turner's name was not the one called, that's for sure.
The more I think about it, I'm like, he played in more of a 3-4. I don't know how much of a fit it was with the Indianapolis Colts.
It's possible.
You know, so like all those things.
But
again, you know, Dallas Turner versus Latu. I mean, Latu, by all metrics, was a better player.
Yeah.
It was just the medical concerns, right? Yeah.
So, and then the funny part is, you know, people saying like, well, you maybe could have gotten him a little later. I don't really think so, because when you look at it, the six of the next six picks, three of them were all edge guys. Dallas Turner went to Minnesota. The Rams went and got Jared Verse. And then, obviously, Miami went with Chop Robinson. So, of those edges, the Colts pick kind of just set the edge market at that point. Mm-hmm. So, it definitely went off the rails there. A couple of big players that, you know, were in contention for that 15 spot, Quinion Mitchell, Brian Thomas Jr., and Terrion Arnold go off the board early in the 20s. And then some of the last couple picks were some of the interesting ones. Xavier Worthy does get selected in the first round by the Kansas City Chiefs, who traded up with Buffalo to make that pick happen. Nate Wiggins, another cornerback off the board, a little early from what they were saying with the metrics, but we kind of thought that might happen. Ricky Parasol is actually out of the board at 31, so that could be very interesting. We'll talk about that move tomorrow, but Xavier Leggett also being taken at 32 by Carolina, who traded up to go and get him by one pick. That kind of stinks, because you and I were both mocking him at 46 a lot.
Yeah, we knew Carolina that. Loved him, though.
Yeah.
And I met with him multiple times and even told him they were going to pick him. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, it sucks, but I wouldn't have taken him in the first round. I mean, I get it, though. Like, Carolina, I feel like they're a traits team as well.
Yeah.
Like, we saw them draft Jonathan Mingo probably a hair early last year. So, they have that tendency to do that a little bit more when it comes to some of these wide receivers. But yeah, Derek, I mean, a few guys here that you mentioned that I personally think went a little bit early, like maybe guys that we thought maybe were early to mid second round guys, Darius Robinson, 27 to Arizona, Ricky Parasol, you talked about as well. Tyler Guyton, I thought he was maybe a little bit later on.
Yeah, I would have thought so too.
And then Xavier Leggett, obviously. So like some guys that we thought might be early to mid second rounders go a little bit early to some of these teams. So that in itself probably bodes well for the Indianapolis Colts, because there's still a lot of guys left. Guys like Cooper DeJean, right? Who we know, a lot of people said, there were people even projecting Cooper DeJean to 15.
Right? Yeah.
So he's going to be available for Indianapolis. So maybe that's a situation where the Colts trade up for him.
Maybe.
Maybe. I'm not holding my breath. Yeah. But all that to say, there's still a ton of guys left here for the Indianapolis Colts. There's a ton of wide receivers still. There's a few DBs left. And so I do think Indianapolis has a good chance here to upgrade at some key positions in day number two. And we will see on that. But definitely a very, very interesting day number one for the NFL draft. Yeah. A lot of memorable things that happened today for not just the Colts, but for a lot of these different teams. Guys that we thought had no business going where they went,
yeah,
but they went there. And so that only can help a team like Indianapolis, especially at the quarterbacks. Like, we thought there might be a stretch that six go in the first round, let alone the top 12. So that goes well. I think bodes well for Indianapolis. And again, if we're ranking needs, we're probably going corner, wide receiver, and then probably safety as well. So we'll see how that works out for the Indianapolis Colts. Maybe there is a trade down scenario the Colts do where they get another third round pick or something. I don't know. Because again, Chris Ballard raved about how deep this wide receiver class is. We know the corners, there's a lot of good corners that we've mocked to the Colts on day number two as well as some safeties as well. So there's a lot of options for the Colts here in day number two, but definitely a crazy day, night number one for every single team and for the Indianapolis Colts specifically.
Absolutely. Well, that's going to do it for this one, guys. That's our reaction to the first round of the 2024 NFL mock draft. Not even a mock draft, it's an NFL draft. So that's going to do it for this one, guys. Let us know your thoughts on the first day, the Colts pick, and a lot of these other ones. And then we will make sure to have some more videos tomorrow on what we expect the Indianapolis Colts to be looking for in day two, reacting to some of the media availabilities and other things like that. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. And as always, guys, go Colts.
Yeah.